it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And welcome to Light Years. What's up,
Dave? It's the Wacky Light Years Gang.
That voice you're hearing, special guest from The Athletic and The Daily Ding and all things NBA, Dave Dufour. Dave, what's up, man?
Nothing, man. Basketball is good right now. That's what's up.
It is good. I feel like
proud of the competition committee.
I am too. This is the
lobbying
thing,
Adam. Media.
This is the now, first thing, good thing Adam Silver's done in a while.
I mean, look, it's funny. I actually talked to people this at Summer League, and I think I told you about this, about the rule changes that were coming. And we all knew because it was coming out.
Sure.
And they were, people in the league were excited. I think that they thought they could fix it. And it did. It's really cool, man. It looks more like it's closer to basketball, but the long stretches of play are a little sloppy right now. And I think that's going to clean up, but
right.
It's just so nice to be able to sit down and actually watch and see basketball happening instead of procedural basketball adjacent activities happening, like free throws and technical fouls and replays.
Well, and you've come to the home of honest basketball. So there's no two people who would agree with you more.
That's why we all smiled when Giannis looked over Chris Middleton with the Larry O'Brien trophy. You know what I mean? Because honest basketball, I mean, there's no more honest player than Giannis, right? Like, I think that they did a good job. This is great. Like, the referees know the damn game. Trust them. Let them use their judgment. And there are going to be adjustments. And players are already adjusting. It's going to be really, really good. I mean, it's really good now, but I think it's going to be even better by midseason. Once the guys, these are the best players to ever play. Ever. All of them. You could probably take like the 12th man on one of these teams. If you could put him in a time machine and he could go, he'd be right up there with Bill Russell.
Basketball has been great this season. I keep saying this every pod. I mean, Dave, I know you watch every damn game, but this season has been incredible. Six games in for the Warriors. I'm not just talking about Warriors specific, just every other game this season has been awesome.
Are you ready? The Miami Heat, by the way, are up and look amazing. Again, are you ready for the Culture Bowl? The Heat versus the Warriors in the finals? Just pure culture on both sides.
Can the Warriors trade Iggy back to Miami?
No, like then the culture's ruined.
No, that would be amazing. That would be fun to me, man. I love how Miami plays. And I even said this. I didn't know that. Like, I assumed, or not assumed, but when they put this team together, I was like, I don't know where their offense is going to come from because – we all thought Tyler Hero was bad, but it was before we really understood that we just had to throw out the last two seasons. They look good. They look really good. And that's more fun to me. Well, I like it. I like that there's so much parity and everybody's in the mix. And the more teams that generate system buckets, like the Warriors and the Heat, that beautiful game, moving the ball and stuff, I think that's good.
So I wanted to ask you this then. So tying into it, the Warriors are 5-1. We're recording this before the Warriors and Hornets and what is likely to be a very loud, noisy, let's talk about if they should have picked LaMelo type of thing. But anyway, that's a different topic. Are you buying the Warriors as a contender?
Everybody was, except for me, it felt like at one point. I don't know, man. I need to see Clay. I still worry that Kevon Looney is featured heavily. I mean, I don't know. A lot of Damian Lee right now.
People really like Damian Lee.
It's early.
Damian Lee's playing excellent basketball.
Here's my thing. They man, their defense can get to some interesting levels. Like, it's still really good.
Which is interesting, because we did not think that coming into the season.
Yeah, I was worried about that too. Iggy defensively looks pretty good. And
how?
I thought he looked stiff in the first game, but I don't get it. I don't know how they're doing it. And Steph is not quite Steph yet, which is interesting. Like, I actually feel like they're, you know,
they have room for growth.
Yeah, they do. And I'm really interested in Kuminga. Look, these rookies this year, like, I'm just wondering, like, is it the whole class? Are they all pretty good?
Do you think that it's every single player that's good from Jalen Green, although he's not playing well right now, all the way to Franz Wagner, but it's just not Kuminga though, but not Kuminga, you know?
If he got skipped over, like, the Warriors are so bad at scouting that they didn't see any of these other guys, which, hold on now, recent history.
Relax.
I don't know.
Relax. We'll get on that topic. On that topic.
I mean, listen, I know, you know, he's not from Serbia, so I get it. We can't get too hype about him, but I, you know, what if he's also a player? I mean, it sure would be nice to have some more playmaking, but you got what you got.
Where were they going to get that?
And Clay, I don't know, man, I'm watching the workout videos and I love Clay's vibes. So I see that 77 jersey and I can't help but think Clay's going to come out gunning. I think, like, I don't know. He just looks, I don't know.
All right. Let's
looks like
let's,
he's pretty good.
So let's say you get like 75, 80% of Clay when he returns. I'm not even saying he's going to be that. Let's say that's what you're getting come springtime.
Okay.
How do you feel about this Warriors team? What would you be looking? Would you be looking to add something? Do you feel like they have enough? Because as you mentioned, parity, there's no juggernaut in the NBA right now. Like, there's a lot of good teams, but there's no one who feels like, you know, like the early O's Lakers or like the Kevin Durant Warriors or something where you're like, God, I need a lot to compete with that.
I will say I'm going to give the Bucks the benefit of the doubt. They've obviously got some injury stuff and Chris Middleton down in the COVID. The Bucks are going to give them
they're
pass.
They're very good. Yeah.
Yeah. There is some weirdness happening, but I think it's just injury stuff related. But yeah, you're right. There's nobody. I couldn't tell you to pick a favorite, pick one. I can't.
I mean, I'm with you. I would say I default to, if the Bucks are healthy, they're my favorite, but like they're very good.
But look around the league right now, I mean, I probably lean Miami just because it's like, all right, I know every single one of these guys, you know, they're going to be like this, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can count on this, but that's just based on how they're playing right now. But the Bucks, I assume, are going to be healthy and be fine. But you're right. The West is wide open to me. And the Warriors have just as much of a chance as anybody once the playoffs hit. If Clay is at 75, 80%, I think that's plenty, because you know, you've still got Draymond looks great. You've got Steph, who is still like one of the two or three best players in the league. And
a little more depth.
Yeah.
Two-way wigs.
They're better. You guys know, I told you when they traded for Wiggins, I was like, you just have to ignore the contract and look at the production. He's not a player that's that contract, but he's still a pretty decent player that can contribute, especially when you have other guys. I mean, he's not going to be asked to do what he is in Minnesota, but I don't know. I think they've got a pretty good shot. I still worry about not having a real big that can give you some vertical spacing, because I do think that's a hidden element of those Warriors teams that we all know and love. Now, are you about to tell me that James Wiseman is that guy?
Have you seen the Warriors promo videos this season that Wilt Chamberlain is in the shadows of James Wiseman, Dave?
It's like angels in the outfield. Wilt Chamberlain is lifting up James Wiseman and giving him his powers. That is our grand plan.
Okay, listen, I think there's a certain level of expectation from the Warriors brass that he can fulfill a relatively easy role of roll,
yeah,
dunk.
Right.
Instead of last season, where it was why don't you become the next coming of Arvydas Sabonis and Nikola Jokic?
Can you be Festus Ezeli?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. Seriously. I mean,
JaVale McGee.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Can you walk and chew bubblegum? You can probably do this job if you're 7 feet tall.
I think he's about 2 weeks away.
He's a good athlete.
He's about 2 weeks away from playing. So we will get to see where he's at, you know, now that they've revamped the coaching staff. I feel like that story still didn't get enough publicity. Like, look, the Warriors basically admitted they did everything wrong last year.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Credit to
Kenny Atkinson, it says one damn thing.
You like math?
Oop. Our development is off. Because that's the reputation. Atlanta, Brooklyn. And it's smart. He's also a good coach. So,
yes. But I did think it was, I mean.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah, what's up?
Are they going to put Wiseman in enough pick and roll situations to get him those chances? Because I think he needs those. That's going to be the big thing for him, right? Like, it's going to happen?
The expectation is when he comes back, whenever he's ready to play, which we're thinking sometime in November, he's going to be with the second unit and they're going to be running pick and roll with Jordan Poole, at least initially. And then, you know, if he plays well, then he'll get moved a little more into the first unit. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's
maybe he'll get some burn at the end of first with Steph.
There seems to be a conscious effort to kind of separate him from Draymond. At least that's what's been alluded to for the short term. Right now, long term, he has to figure out how to play with Draymond, or it's just going to be a wasted pick. I mean, you can't take a guy number two and not have him be able to play.
Well, he could be Draymond's backup. Players.
Yeah, and that's not what you take a number two. So, sure.
That's taking a number two at number two.
Yes, exactly.
Which, I mean,
relax. We're not going there yet. What I was going to say at all. No, we're going there, but. What I was going to say is I'm excited to see what they're going to do with him, because, you know, we can be as critical of him as we want. And like, I think a lot of it's founded in context of players they could have took instead of him, but they really set him up for failure last year.
It's also hard to be a rookie big in the NBA. I mean, we all know this, and it's funny because, like, not only do we all know it, we say it all the time. Right after we criticize a guy who's really bad as a young big, it's one of the hardest jobs in the NBA, especially defensively. So I don't know, man. I don't expect a ton. I do expect to see some growth. They've obviously liked what they've seen. So who am I to judge until I see it? But I think Wiseman's going to wind up being a fine player. It's just that having a second year big that you have, if you have anything more than like 8 minute expectations out of, like, hopefully he can come in and tread water for 8 minutes a game. I still think that that's any more than that's too much. He's just not, he's not that kind of talent yet.
I do think when it comes to winning time, the Warriors do have a lineup when Klay comes back and it's March and April that not many teams can tell you that they're 100% better than that.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I mean, the Steph, Klay,
yep.
Wiggins, Draymond, and then you could go Iggy or Poole, depending on if you wanted more offense
or Otto, or even Otto.
Oh, yeah, or Otto.
Sam's the Otto guy, you know, resident Otto guy. Listen, yeah.
Again, you guys know my rule. If you look like Lionel Richie and shoot threes, I love you.
He's turning into Kevon Looney with a three-point shot, which is literally my dream funny? Player.
Yeah.
Yes.
His rebounding has been... I've just been like, wait, they got another small ball center.
The Warriors are just absolutely amazing at turning wigs to centers. So I think we can criticize their development, and a lot of it's founded, but that's something they're good at.
Yeah.
Finding slow wings and making them centers.
They just changed.
Yeah. It's like, I know you think you're a three, but what if you're a five?
Guys, I watched Jason Tatum blocking a couple shots at the rim the other day, and I was like, man, is Jason Tatum best center on the Celtics? So look, I get it.
Look, oh, I've told Sam, is Jonathan Kuminga the future five? Like, he can't shoot, and it's not like he's going to be a 40% shooter one day, but he's fucking huge and he's athletic and he's one of the best, you know, just large elite athlete guys in the NBA. Like, is he going to be a five? It'd be pretty sweet. I mean,
no matter what the Warriors do, they end up with too many fives on the roster. Even when they try to get a bunch of wings, it's like, I know you think these are wings, Bob, but they're fives.
Is Jordan Poole going to be a center by the end of the season?
He's going to be the new center.
Golden State Warriors basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Warriors tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all the awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best price on all of their NBA tickets. If you don't believe it, if you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will actually give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. I actually did that for the San Francisco Giants game against the LA Dodgers, game one, compared it to another site that I usually use. TickPick was actually cheaper. So there you go. But make sure you go to TickPick for all your Warriors tickets games this season. Visit TickPick.com today to save $10 on your first order of Golden State Warriors tickets. Again, it's TickPick.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Well, you know who's not a center, a player who's coming play the Warriors on Wednesday, my birthday, by the way, LaMelo Ball. You know, we had to talk about this a little bit. So we're recording this before the game. And by the way, here's my prediction. This will look potentially genius or dumb after the game. LaMelo's either going for 40 or he's going 1 for 15. There's going to be absolutely zero. He's either going to make the Warriors look dumb or Draymond and Iguodala are going to give him one of those type of nights. And there's just no chance this is going to be like a 17 point B plus performance.
Yeah, you're right. it's all or nothing. Right. And that's why I love that guy, because I mean, he's just going all out. I mean, you can say a lot about a lot of players, and a lot of people have said a lot of things about LaMelo, including before the draft, after the draft. But you can't say that guy doesn't go hard.
Yeah.
I mean, and doesn't also, his level of not giving a fuck is unparalleled.
So it's how inspiring. Much? I want to ask you, how much do you read into that stuff? You're a coach, former coach. When I watch LaMelo, I see a guy who has like supreme confidence, sometimes too much confidence himself. Sure. When I watch James Wiseman, I see a player who is thinking and like the weight of the world on him. Like, you could tell at some point last year, he was a little shook that LaMelo was dominant and he wasn't performing at that level.
I don't know if the specifics there. Look, the hand stuff with Wiseman is something I paid a lot of attention to. You know, a lot of people want to blame the hands themselves instead of the player who has the hands. You know what I mean? Like, you have to watch the ball into your hands a little bit, especially as a rookie. The speed of the game in the NBA is just so different than anything they've ever done. Everybody's 6'7" and up, pretty much. There are a lot of arms, you know, there's so much stuff to worry about. I mean, I just think that that's one of those things that young guys, he doesn't have good hands. I'm not saying that, but I don't think his hands are as bad as they looked. Right. So I just think that some of his struggles were speed of the game and just not being comfortable. I don't want to put it on feeling the pressure of being the second pick or anything else. Okay. Now, certainly the limelight maybe of playing for a team like the Warriors, that might be part of it, but I wouldn't put that on him. If that makes sense.
That's fair.
I agree. I mean, I just think that A lot of it is.
It's hard to play in the NBA, period. And like, we already know, like, play it, let's say, and I don't want to put this out there, but like, if it never panned out for him and he was out of the league in 3 years. Okay, man, right. It happens. It does happen. It doesn't happen that often anymore because teams are pretty good at scouting. Yeah. So I would say this, he's more likely to grow into a better player the more he plays, but it's just that is Golden State the right place for that? That has always been the issue. He wasn't ready to come into the NBA and be a contributor. And LaMelo, look, there were questions about whether LaMelo was ready to do that as well.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So,
now, yeah. And now I would take the experimental guy who has elite skills that you know of already over maybe the other guy, but it doesn't say, there's nothing to say that LaMelo was going to automatically work out either. Now he showed us almost immediately that he was, but
right.
That's neither here nor there. It's a gamble anyway. Like the whole draft is a little bit of a gamble.
He wasn't coming in LeBron James. Like LaMelo was not.
How's the Zion? Look, Zion is a great player, right?
When he's on the court. Give me Ja.
He's a great player when he's on the court. But again, there's part of the gamble. So I just think that generally young players, they're put under the microscope, especially by franchises. I mean, like the Warriors are just the weirdest one because they had a tank year right on the tail end of a dynasty, but then like all of their good players are still there except for Kevin Durant. And so they want to compete right away. It's a very unique thing, right? It's like the Chicago Bulls
becoming
the San Antonio Spurs a little bit.
Let me ask you this then. James Wiseman's
not Tim Duncan. Sorry.
Let's say the Warriors did take LaMelo.
Okay.
What do you think happens? Because undoubtedly they're different situations, mm-hmm. and LaMelo is the perfect guy to kind of breathe air into a franchise that's dormant. The Warriors are not a dormant. We're not a dormant franchise. So.
Sure. And maybe he doesn't have the freedom.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, what if LaMelo's riding the pine comes in and, you know, running the triangle and split cuts and, you know, I like not to say that he couldn't still be special in that, but Melo is kind of a guy where you just need to roll the ball out and let him do his thing. I mean, you guys, we've talked about this before, my whole thing about overcoaching. And I actually think Steve Kerr is pretty good about the balance in that because you need a firmer hand in the regular season because of how long it is in the NBA and like the rotation minutes and being strict to that and, you know, not chasing individual wins all the time. Like that stuff actually does matter long-term for teams that want to compete for a title. We have too much data on it. I mean, the Bucks are a good example of this from last year. They did a better job of managing stuff and then they increased minute loads in the playoffs and stuff. So I think that, but part of that is I also think that the micromanagement would be too much for a LaMelo to be able to showcase some of his special skills. James Borrego's done a great job of like kind of get that ball moving, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I see exactly how LaMelo, Steph, and all them work together, but does Steve Kerr give him that freedom as a 19-year-old rookie? I think evidence suggests probably not.
I think we're all better off with how things have played out on the LaMelo front. I couldn't have come up with I don't know, man.
You're better off. I'm not.
All right. Him and Steph together would have been a lot of fun, but I like what Charlotte's got going on. I'm not a guy. I don't have FOMO. I don't feel whatever that thing is where it's like, oh, I don't, is it regret? I don't know what it is. I'm not doing that all the time. Oh man, coulda, woulda, shoulda. I just don't care. I live in the moment.
LaMelo's not playing the role that he played in Charlotte that he did in the Warriors. And I'm not saying it's good or bad.
Spotting up and running off of screens, bro.
And he would have been benched for being terrible defensively. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that would have happened on the
small ball five.
And I'm saying Warriors fans would have been mad because LaMelo would have been making flash plays. By the way, James Wiseman had some incredible flash plays last season that I was joking that he was the next Giannis. But I think there would have been times where LaMelo would have made these amazing plays, but he also would have been benched for things that he probably shouldn't have been benched for. But at the same time, LaMelo also understands basketball in a way that I think not many players in the NBA understands basketball right now. It's just the way that he moves the ball, that he understands and he slows down the game. I'm watching John Morant at 22 years old and I'm fascinated because I'm like, he understands the point guard position, which is the most important position in hoops that nobody does. Very rare. And LaMelo is very similar in that way. And these guys are 10 years younger than me and they understand basketball in a way that you've never seen before. And that's insane. That's insane.
LaMelo is Picasso, man. Right. Like, I mean, you guys know my basketball is art and I love to watch these guys do their thing. It's why guys like LaMelo and Steph, like they're so unique. And yeah.
Let me ask you a different question here. How should Warrior fans react to LaMelo? Because currently it's got some like Kings Suns fans with Luka vibes going on.
I'm not familiar.
So, as you may know, Luka Doncic was not the first or second pick, and those two teams had the first and second pick and took big men. To be fair, DeAndre Ayton's a hell of a player, but he's not Luka Doncic. And there seems to be a little uneasiness with Warrior fans around. There's a lot of, we don't want to acknowledge that he exists or talk about him because then we have to have this conversation about how the team may have passed on an actual franchise player, the actual Steve Young to Steph Curry's Joe Montana, you know, the actual player you could hand the baton to and have a 20 plus year run of title contention that Joe Lacob thinks will happen.
Is this a real thing? Or are you pulling my leg?
Andy, is this a real thing?
Correct.
the pause actually makes a
well, that's weird.
Yeah, we're weird. I mean, listen, the reality is he's the best. He's the best player. He's the best player in the 2020 draft right now.
Sure.
And he went one pick. He's after on another awards. Team.
Sorry. Boo him. Ooh. Or enjoy him. I mean, just I don't know, man. Love the one you're with. That's what I'd say, Warriors fans. Don't care so much about that. Like you've got Wiseman, and I don't think the Hornets would trade LaMelo for Wiseman. So it just feels like wasted energy.
What if Joe Lacob throws in some tequila for MJ?
I mean, what kind of NFT action can we get, you know, like happening over here?
Do you think MJ is an NFT guy?
No, hell no.
Do you think he even has a smartphone?
No. I hope not.
I think he's a flip phone guy.
I hope not. Look, did he lose the giant jeans? Are they gone?
Maybe to giant sweats, but no.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, he's like every other man. His fashion peaked in his mid-30s. Listen,
if you're a billionaire, why would you have a phone?
Or why would you not wear baggy pants?
I'm not a billionaire. I don't want my phone. I just can't imagine. It's just like when I see NBA players on Twitter, I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, believe me. If I was an NBA player, I would not be on Twitter.
No.
Yeah, you'd be on TikTok.
Yeah. Like my boy Big Jim. Like my boy Big Jim. I would be on the TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's all good.
It's just the billionaires with the phones. It's like, okay, I get it if you're working, but man, otherwise.
Well, we know, Dave, you're trying to disconnect. You're a disconnect kind of guy. Mm. It's a smart way. That's why you have the Klay Thompson shirt. Another man who likes to disconnect.
Listen, man, fellow, we're you know, similar vibes, man. That's the Bulldog thing. It's undeniable, man.
Bulldog owners, they just want to be out on the open sea without phones.
Well, we live with, you know, walking, farting, eating white noise machines, man. And it's like, it's pleasant. I mean, not the farting. That's not pleasant.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't even know where we want to go from here.
Let's talk about this. The Warriors, Sam and I had it with home court advantage come the playoffs. And I want to say not many people believe that. What do you think they are now? in the context of the entire NBA, because last I checked, the entire Western Conference is struggling.
Yeah. I mean, they certainly look like a home court advantage team. I think Utah is going to be, you know, I mean,
sure.
Feels pretty safe. I think Denver will be.
You think so?
Yeah. You know, I'm getting a little bit worried about Phoenix. And the Clippers got some issues.
Yeah,
the shooting stuff right now is so weird though that it's hard to get a read. And I'm just, you know, like you guys, I love to say I don't know. I mean, I hate it because I really don't know. Well, just Phoenix, like again, like some of the shooting stuff, there's some weird offensive stuff they've got going on. And they've just not looked in sync. And I don't want
to say DeAndre Wiseman doesn't seem like he's happy.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it's early. It's early. And again, right. The shooting stuff is weird right now. Teams still trying to adjust to foul calls, and maybe some of the griftier teams are struggling. Griftier players for sure struggling.
Just say Chris Paul's a grifter.
Well,
it's just a safe space.
Look, I'm not sure what the issues are. I'm not sure what the issues are. But we'll see. But it's early. And again, the shooting numbers being so down, I think we all got to be kind of in wait and see mode, because the Clippers, I mean, that's a team that could shoot the last couple of years. Is it that, hey, maybe they're not actually that good. And it's really the last 2 years that I think are kind of weird. The no fans, bringing fans back. Like there's a lot of, you know, the bubble, there's just so much noise there. Is it the ball? Is it the foul calls? Like what the hell is the problem? So, you know, I think we're like 20 games away really from knowing anything, but the Warriors to me and the Jazz are the two teams I'm like, okay, that's two of the top four. And then I think the Lakers can get there if once they settle, right, you know, all their problems. Cause like, I mean, you know, LeBron is going to settle that team down. I think the Suns could be there. The Nuggets could be there, you know, in that mix, not necessarily 3-4, they could be 1 or 2, like depending on when things settle for these teams. But I think that's kind of your five. It's those five playing for the four spots. Does that feel about right to you guys? Am I forgetting someone?
No, Sam thinks the Lakers are going to be a play-in team.
I do not think the Lakers are going to be a play-in team. I think they will underachieve in the regular season. And I had them actually fifth in our season preview podcast. So yeah, I had the same team as you. I had Utah, I had Phoenix, I had the Warriors and Denver around. Now I'm at top four. And I thought the Lakers would be the 5 seed because I still hate the fit. And let's be real, they're playing the softest schedule ever, and they're still 3-3 right now?
Yeah.
4-3. They don't look good. I mean, all it takes is a couple tweaks and LeBron Anthony Davis is a very good place to start your team, but they basically built the opposite of a team I would ever want to build around LeBron Anthony Davis.
Sure is funny though.
Oh, it's amazing. I appreciate it. Thanks guys.
Oh, believe me, we're having a lot of fun. Believe me.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's a reasonable expectation of the Warriors. I mean, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. That's where they're at. They're not elite. They're stoppable. They're still a little too loose with the ball, but you live with that because of the ceiling that kind of opens up for you. But they're good, man. Like the defense holding up to this level was unexpected.
Let's end on this. Draymond Green, you mentioned the defense. I think Draymond looks as good as he has looked outside of like peak 2016. I am everywhere, including in the third deck of the stadium, Draymond Green.
Yeah. And he's under control too.
Yeah.
Like he's picking his spots a little bit too. Like I think that's something that he's gotten better at as he's gotten older. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he can maintain this. I mean, he's in really good shape. So I'm hoping that he can maintain this.
Looking condition. Like Dave Dufour out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Much better small ball five than I am.
Noted.
Yeah. But I mean, but I never played for the Warriors. Who knows? Who knows? I didn't get that training.
They would have made you a five.
Draymond,
that's what
looks
they do.
Great. Is Draymond like your early front runner defensive guy? Like I think that he's kind of like been all over the place.
I think
the Warriors are what, Sam? Yeah, explain. Yeah.
They are third or fourth in defensive rating right now. Again, it's early season and no one can hit a shot, so it's hard to say how much.
It feels so noisy.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, I think he wants defensive player of the year. And he, I mean, it would be a shame if he retired with just one, just in context of what he means historically to defense and basketball. Rudy Gobert has three.
He's a one-man injection of evolution into NBA defense. Yeah. Like, he really literally like just changed it in one
year. He's playing. He usually doesn't play defense like this until March. So I think
that feels a little bit strategic too, because I think that teams know internally how important it is to get out in that first 20 games.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. When you look after the first 20, 25 games, it almost dictates the playoff picture. So,
I want to say this is a conspiracy theory I've had. I think him and Steph are motivated to get out to a hot start to put pressure on management. Warriors want to do this whole, we're going to develop Kuminga and Wiseman for the future while competing now. We'll see how they feel if the Warriors are 30-15 at the All-Star break and noise is really loud that you're one player away from being maybe the favorite. You're really going to blow that because you're thinking about 2025, you know, because it's easy for management to not pull the trigger on that stuff when they're a decidedly 500 team like they were last year.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder when you're the three seed and, you know, you look like you have the bones of a contender. You're just like missing that one extra player to go with what you got or whatever it may be. So that's my conspiracy theory on them coming out this hot to start the season. I think it's a little bit of an FU to upper management.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I'm not sure. I think that they're hungry also. Right?
Yeah.
Like I think
they're also competitive. Apparent. That's true.
Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, Steph is a low key killer.
A little bit of a sociopath.
And yeah. And it's funny because like he smiles a lot. And so people don't realize that he's got kind of a competitive mean streak. You know, think about the stuff that the Cleveland fans hate about Steph, right? Everybody that loves Steph just doesn't see that, like, because we love it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he is cocky, but that's great because it's Steph, right? But the truth is he's a killer. So I think, I mean, you look at what he did last season, in a season where, I mean, what is that team without Steph? The absolute worst team in the league.
I think it's a
team playing in second division Greece where they found Giannis. Yeah.
I mean, if Steph decided to break his hand last season, they might have Kate Cunningham might be running the team with them right now. But I think
and they play him at 5'2".
By the way, isn't Cade play? What did he play tonight? I gotta go check how Cade
he
did
played.
Tonight.
He played.
I'm curious because the Pistons are a mess.
Hard watch, man.
Fucking mess. I thought Isaiah Stewart would be better, but Jesus Christ,
he's
I don't know why I brought that up. But I here's what I want to say. I feel like Steph got a lot more respect from his peers last season, which is what I think Steph cares about the most, outside of obviously winning in championships. But I think that he got a lot more respect than the peers that he cares about last season versus, let's say, the 2018 championship. And I think that is an issue with the way that basketball is viewed, is that Steph won the scoring title and he dragged this piss poor team to the play-in game. And I do think people looked at Steph and be like, yeah, you're the fucking man now. And I don't know, man. Like that's
it's the individual over team mindset, right? Like that's the issue. It's the me, me, me bullshit. And you know, I'm sorry. I like great teams over great players.
Right.
You guys know how I feel about the 2014 Spurs. I mean, the Warriors,
one of the best teams I've ever seen.
The Harrison Barnes era Warriors, you know, like I love that team, right? Because of that, like. So I'm a guy who's always team over player, and I grew up, I was a huge Michael Jordan fan. Right. But, I still rooted for the Bulls in the two seasons when he was retired as a kid. Right. Like when I still was a fan of stuff. So, I'm always the wrong person to ask this kind of stuff.
We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, this is fun, man. I miss you guys. We haven't talked in a long time.
We got to do it again. Maybe something more pointed next time, but I kind of just like shooting the shit anyway.
This is always great. Yeah. Like, you guys, it's funny because I so rarely get a chance to just shoot the shit with people, right? Like, I mean, you know, got shows to make. So I always, I mean, it's true. Like, you know, it's a little bit. So it's nice when I get to be on a podcast that just hang out.
And I tell you what, the light years goons love Dave DeFore, then they love Andy Liu. I'll tell you what, I'm a love or hate type of guy. They'll deal with Sam regardless. So we appreciate you, Dave.
I'm a love or hate type of guy in real life.
Hey,
right?
Listen, I'll tell you this.
That's the difference, is that in real life, people are like,
yeah. I'll tell you this. We'll get you back when Ricky Rubio and Kevin Love are on the Warriors, and we'll chat then.